Good day, and welcome to the Playtech conference call regarding the recommended acquisition of Plus500. Today's conference is being recorded. We are joined today by Mor Weizer, Chief Executive Officer of Playtech, and Ron Hoffman, the Chief Financial Officer. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mor Weizer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to join us on this morning's call to discuss the announcement of Playtech's recommended acquisition of Plus500. I'm Mor Weizer, Chief Executive Officer of Playtech, and with me is Ron Hoffman, our Chief Financial Officer, who we announced today will be taking on the additional role of CEO of our financials business, which will include both TradeFX and Plus500 post-completion of the acquisition. After a summary of the highlights of the deal, we will move swiftly to Q&A. Playtech is a naturally acquisitive company and has a stated strategy to acquire profitable, regulated, highly cash-generative businesses with market-leading positions. Following the recent acquisition of TradeFX, Playtech is a natural aggregator of businesses within the broader CFD and binary options trading sector. The acquisition of Plus500 is directly in line with our strategy and ambitions in this vertical. Under the terms of our offer, Plus500 shareholders will receive 400 pence per share in cash, which we believe is a very compelling offer, demonstrated by the support of the Plus500 board and more than a third of Plus500 shareholders. I'm also pleased to say that Plus500's management will remain with the business for at least 12 months following completion to secure a smooth transition to Playtech management. We currently anticipate that the acquisition will complete by the end of September 2015. Turning now to look at recent events, I'm sure you are all aware that earlier this month, Plus500 announced that the Financial Conduct Authority had required a review of its anti-money laundering, financial sanction systems, and other related regulatory controls, which led to Plus500 prohibiting all transactions for existing customers until additional AML procedures have been completed. It additionally ceased onboarding new customers. Further to this, recent events and associated publicity have meant that Plus500 has become the subject of increased scrutiny and received further requests for information from its regulators in the jurisdictions in which it is licensed. As a result, Plus500 board now expects group revenue for 2015 to be lower than in 2014, with margins expected to be significantly lower due to the maintained marketing spend. While Plus500 product technology and marketing skills remain strong, the recent regulatory scrutiny placed on Plus500 has highlighted the advantages of expanding the operational infrastructure to support a business of its size. The Playtech directors believe that the acquisition of Plus500 represents an attractive opportunity due to its brand, its position in the market, and its existing customer relationships globally. Furthermore, Playtech directors believe that the acquisition, if approved, represents a fair valuation for a leading CFD broker and platform provider. With that, I'll hand back to Ron, who will talk about the strategic rationale for the acquisition.
Thank you, Mor. The acquisition of Plus500 represents a unique opportunity for Playtech to build on its presence in this sector. Due to Plus500's market reach, advanced technology, product offering, and existing customer relationships globally, which has allowed it to attract and convert customers successfully. The combination of Plus500 with Playtech's recently acquired TradeFX business will enable the combined business to maximize the market opportunity and product offering by utilizing the strength of both businesses. As Mor just said, recent events have highlighted the advantages of expanding the operational infrastructure to support a business, and Playtech will provide Plus500 with access to its market-leading technology and infrastructure, in combination with its expertise of operating a multi-jurisdictional regulated business. Playtech also intends to provide Plus 500 with CRM capabilities and expertise to maximize customer lifetime value and improve its standalone financial performance. The acquisition of Plus 500 also meets Playtech's stringent financial acquisition criteria and is expected to be immediately earnings enhancing from completion. To conclude, the acquisition of Plus 500 further diversifies the Playtech business in line with its stated strategy to acquire profitable, regulated, highly cash generative businesses with market leading positions and is a natural fit following the recent acquisition of TradeFX. The offer provides shareholders of Plus 500 with certainty and has already been supported by the Plus 500 board and a third of shareholders. With that, operator, we'll take Q&A.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Simon Davies at Canaccord. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, morning. A few questions from me, please. Firstly, can you indicate when you think the new AML procedures will be fully in place at Plus 500? Do you think that will be fully completed by the time that the transaction clears in September? Secondly, can you talk about the relative strengths of the trading platforms and whether you would view this as an opportunity to migrate onto one platform and what the cost savings of that might be? And finally, I think the Plus 500 tax rate has been running at about 24-25%. What do you think the tax rate would be for you in absorbing the business? Do you think you'd be able to reduce that down towards TradeFX levels?
Yeah, hi, Simon. So let me try and answer that. With respect to your first question on the AML procedures, I think the management of Plus 500, you've already indicated that their estimation is that they will complete this process within a month. This is well underway. Right now, the situation is that they are slowly activating more and more accounts, existing accounts, whereby the new accounts are still not active yet. They believe that it will be completed in a matter of a month. So I would say the assumption is that it will happen before the completion of the transaction altogether, given the process itself. It's slightly longer. There is a period of time, according to the legal structure of the agreement, which is longer than 30 days. On the technology aspect, again, I would emphasize that this transaction is not about cost synergies. It's mostly about revenue synergies. It's about taking the best of breed of both sides and the best technologies of what we have currently as part of the TradeFX technology, and the very successful offering that they have on the Plus 500, and combining that with the best offering out there and servicing that, using, I would say, taking the best of everything and using that in the areas where it is most relevant, in the markets where the certain brands will be stronger than other markets. This will take some time to do that. I mean, we will enter in some integration processes, which will take some time. But we see that as a big, big opportunity to increase the customer lifetime value on the back of doing that. On the tax, I would say currently the business is run and managed from Israel. We are right now evaluating that going forward. We're using local tax advice. We believe the business can be structured in a much more tax-efficient way. Obviously, Playtech has a very tax-efficient structure altogether, but this will be evaluated going forward. I think this is slightly too early to discuss that. We will look into the relevant alternatives that we have, and we'll take that decision accordingly.
And sorry, just one last question. How much client overlap do you think there is between the two businesses?
We believe that that altogether there is limited client overlap in these businesses. I mean, they are working, they are strong in different jurisdictions altogether, and we don't believe there are a lot of overlapping.
Just to further elaborate on that, the market as we evaluated and as we have gone through the due diligence process, the market is very fragmented.
They are very well diversified across Europe, therefore we see hardly any overlap between the businesses. So it's all upside.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Richard Stuber at Nomura. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, morning. I think just one further question. I know when you announced the TradeFX deal, you also had an option to buy another medium-sized broker, and I think the number was around about 100 million. Is that still ongoing, and do you still expect that to be closed in the next month or two? Thank you.
Hi, Richard. Good morning. Yes, the answer is yes. This was not obviously, Plus 500 was not a call option that we had. The call option remains in place, we are in the process of due diligence, as we indicated to the market, and therefore we do expect it to happen in the coming month or two.
Okay. Okay, and I'm just one sort of follow-up. I know on your previous acquisitions, you tend to use earnouts. Was there any reason why you're doing an all-in amount this time, or did negotiations ever get to sort of an earnout structure? Thank you.
Obviously, when evaluating the structure of Plus 500, it only made sense for us to offer it the way we structured it and submitted the offer this morning. It's a public company, and therefore earnout was not the right structure in this case.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our next question from Gavin Kelleher at Goodbody Stockbrokers. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. Just in the statement this morning, you highlight that you'll use some debt for this transaction. Are you talking about, would we be right to assume about 300 million of debt euros that you'll have to take on board to complete this deal? And just in terms of the statement also noted, and you did this on the call there, more that other jurisdictions have come up with questions regarding Plus 500's business. Can you just give any of those which have asked questions in addition to the UK? And in terms of the AML process you're going through at the moment, is Plus 500 doing that for its entire business or just the UK?
Hi, Gavin. Good morning. So let me try and answer those. With respect to the debt level, that's approximately the level that we're talking about, potentially slightly higher. We don't see that as a significant debt to Playtech given the existing business and the cash generation of the business. But this is approximately the level of debt that we are referring to at this point. With respect to your question on the other jurisdictions, obviously on the back of this becoming the situation with the FDA becoming very much public, I think it is only natural that the company would be asked, would be approached and open discussions would be made with other regulators as well. So, obviously this is a process, the discussing with regulators on an ongoing basis, but with respect to this is obviously another circumstances where they have discussions with pretty much all of the regulators.
Gavin, maybe just as an overall comment, I will say that the recent regulatory scrutiny placed on Plus 500 has highlighted that it does not have the necessary infrastructure and regulatory expertise to support the complexity of a business of its size and rate of growth. Obviously, when combining it with Playtech, it will provide Plus 100 with the access to its market-leading technology and infrastructure in combination with its expertise of operating a multi-jurisdictional regulated business. So we feel comfortable going forward, while, as we indicated this morning, together with Plus 500, that the business is under scrutiny, not only in the UK. We believe that going forward, when combining the efforts, providing them with the infrastructure and expertise, this will be handled.
Maybe just one follow-up question, more just on the backlog that Plus 500 is going through at the moment, and it'll be finished in a month. Is that just in relation to its UK customers, or is that customers across the entire business?
This is basically all the customers that they onboarded onto the FCA license, not just UK residents, but all the customers that they onboarded onto the FCA license before they froze the account, before they froze the traders' accounts.
Okay. And sorry, just one follow-up question for Ron. Do you have any sort of idea, or could you give us some guide on what the cost of debt will be?
Sorry, on what the cost of debt?
Yeah, your interest cost we should use for, if we assume $300-350 million of net debt, what sort of interest rate should we assume?
I think it's still too early to identify that, given we haven't discussed in detail the commerciality of that.
Okay.
So I would not go public with a number at this point, but I think it's fair to say, I mean, looking at the size of Playtech and the cash generation of Playtech, I think you can assume that it will be a very attractive commercial debt arrangement.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Vaughan Lewis at Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, morning. I've got a few, if that's okay. I'm a bit confused. Is the plan to integrate these businesses and run it as one sort of platform and technology, or to maintain two completely separate businesses? Will you continue to invest in both brands? And what does this mean for the various earnouts that you've got for TradeFX? Will those still be payable, and what impact does this have on that? Second one, on due diligence, what have you actually been able to do in the last few weeks or so since this emerged, and how confident are you that you can fix these issues with player registration? And then finally, did you assess a larger organic marketing investment in this industry as an alternative to making an acquisition? Which seems to be more cost-effective, potentially. Thanks.
Hi, Vaughan. Good morning. Okay, let me... Long list. I will start with the integration question. I think the general plan for us is basically to integrate that into one offering, which will be sort of best-of-breed offering altogether, rather than run it separately as two different offerings. We will have, obviously, we will maintain both brands, as both brands are strong, and they are strong in different markets, so it makes sense to basically take the best of the best. But from a technology and offering perspective, we will make sure that we have the best offering available eventually for both brands. I guess that answers one and two altogether. And obviously, just to emphasize on that, I think it's important to say that TradeFX brings it's CRM technology, which is best of breed, and I think the integration and the combination of the CRM capabilities and expertise of TradeFX together with the product offering of Plus 500 creates the best offering out there to the market. With respect to your question on the earnout, the way that if you remember from the TradeFX announcement, the way that it is structured with respect to future acquisitions is that it enjoys the overall EBITDA performance of the combined group, but it also gets the relevant cost of acquisition in addition to that. So basically, they don't get to enjoy anything immediately, but they enjoy growth from a combined basis going forward. On the due diligence, I will say the following. Due diligence has been intensive since discussions began a little over a week ago. Playtech's expertise through its TradeFX business and experts and professionals within the business has enabled the team to identify the opportunities to integrate the business and understand the issues raised by the regulatory process Plus 500 has been undergoing. Remember that TradeFX has 500 employees when compared to Plus 500 that has a little over than 100. We believe that we have the depth in the business. We believe that we have the expertise, the knowledge, and the people and the resources to support the business going forward, use the infrastructure and the expertise that Playtech brings in order not just to ensure that the regulatory processes Plus 500 has been undergoing will be remedied, but also create a lot of upside for the business when combining best of breed of technology and marketing expertise and CRM capabilities from both ends. With regards to the organic growth, this deal is not, this transaction, this offer is not just about acquiring the database of traders that Plus 500 has.
We believe it's a very successful business that underestimated the requirements given as it grew rapidly. It's a fantastic company. And we believe that, as I said, underestimated the requirements that they had to, and the regulatory processes they had to comply with, and they lacked the infrastructure to do that. Yet they still have a lot of product and marketing capabilities that are unparalleled in the industry, and when combining that with the CRM capabilities that TradeFX under Playtech has, I think that you combine two best of breed in different parts of the vertical together, and this will allow us not only to grow TradeFX but also further grow Plus 500.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Mark Olson at Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Just quickly on the increase in debt, would you pre-fund some debt now for this $100 million acquisition that you have in the next few months? And if so, do you have a preference for returning back to the capital markets, or would you prefer more traditional sort of bank debt?
Yeah, hi, Mark. I think it's too early at this point. We have access to immediate debt coming from banks, but we are looking at other alternatives as well. By the time of the completion, I think we have the ability to raise debt through all alternatives possible. We feel comfortable with this level of debt. We don't see that as being problematic altogether, whether by through a bank debt or through going to the market. So I think we'll take the most attractive offer that we can get out of that. Mark, just to further elaborate on that, I think that, as you well aware, Playtech has a very strong balance sheet, and it's a very cash-generative business. In the last week, not only we were very much focused on due diligence, but we also engaged with certain banks, and the feedback that we have are very positive, and therefore we believe that we are in a strong position to execute on both transactions and secure the funding for those.
And outside of this $100 million, do you have any other larger acquisitions in the pipeline throughout 2015?
We remain acquisitive. We always look at opportunities. There are other things in the mix. I think that it's too early to talk about that. It's too early in terms of process. We are very much focused on the call option that we have, and now plus 500. But obviously, we remain acquisitive, and we will not hesitate if we, as we indicated this morning to the market, if we will see a great opportunity for Playtech, we will not hesitate, given the strong balance sheet and the access to funding resources. We are very much focused on shareholders' value and creating significant shareholders' value to our shareholders going forward. I think that we have the expertise to deliver these transactions. And as we indicated before, we have a very good track record in integrating companies and throughout this process create significant shareholder value to all of our shareholders.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We now take our next question from Richard Partington at Bloomberg. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning. Just a couple of quick questions, if I may. The first one on the regulatory side of this acquisition. Given the scrutiny that the regulator currently has of Plus 500's business, do you believe that this transaction is going to be easily approved, or is this something that you could face difficulty on? And secondly, at 400 pence per share, that looks very cheap in comparison to recent price bar the last couple of weeks. Is this something which is a particularly attractive price for both parties, or is this illustrative of the problems that Plus has been facing?
Yeah. Hi, Richard. I would say the following. With respect to your first question, we believe that the regulators will see this transaction as a positive thing. We believe they will see that in a positive light, given the Playtech history with its regulators and Playtech being a sizable business with significant infrastructure to support that. On your second question, I think Playtech has based its offer on a fair price for the business. And we did that based on a bottom-up assessment of the profit of the business following recent developments.
and not really based on where the share price is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Simon Young at Aviva. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, all. It's Simon Young here. Just one question, really. Who approached who on this deal? And you said it's just been over a week doing due diligence. Can you just expand a bit more on how this transaction came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Plus 500 is a public company. And therefore, Playtech, not only we are now, we are very active in the space, but Playtech has followed the business for a long time. But discussions began following the statement made by Plus 500 on the FCA's review, which was when Playtech's team approached Plus 500 management.
Okay, so, and on the due diligence, you know, is a week long enough for a company that is having this level of scrutiny with regulators?
Hi, Simon. I think it's important to note it's only a week, but I think within this week we basically injected all possible resources into this project. We took every possible resource, both internally and externally, including getting the relevant regulatory DD and from external advisors, as well as internal from our own TradeFX business. We took financial advice both internally from our own finance team and a BDO as external advisors. We took legal DD processes from external advisors as well. I mean, we basically boost this transaction with every possible resource out there in order to be in a position that we can support or not support this transaction altogether. And we eventually found this transaction to be attractive for Playtech. And we feel that we have been responsible, even though it's only been a week. I think we managed to basically go through all relevant DD processes in order for us to feel comfortable that this is the right transaction for us.
Okay. And so is there a material adverse change clause that you're going to put into this? Because obviously the revenues are in a very, very fluid situation here. And as we've seen with further regulatory bodies starting to look in, is there a scenario where you'd say this is actually something you will not continue if certain circumstances started to occur?
I would say, first of all, there are certain scenarios defined in the agreement that for certain material adverse change affecting the business, the transaction basically becomes void. So this is in place.
Can you tell us about that now? Because I presume that's going to come out in the circular. So can you tell us a bit more about those now?
I think Simon, that it's a bit too early. But as you can imagine, in this type of transaction, given the recent event, those refer also to the current status of the company. I will add to that that this transaction is subject to regulatory approval and change of control by the relevant regulators. I believe that the regulators, given the deep understanding and expertise that we have, and the depth in our business, and the number of resources we have today within the business, within TradeFX, in terms of compliance, it will be welcomed and endorsed by the different regulators. And we don't expect it to have, actually we expect that the involvement of Playtech should have a positive, should bring positive news. And as you can imagine, given our expertise in gaming and regulated markets altogether, I think that this is only a benefit for Plus 500 and should be supported by the regulators themselves.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll now take our next question from Avi Fruchter at Anavan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Two quick ones. On management compensation at Plus 500, they've historically been taking very low salaries because they are large shareholders. Do you expect that you're going to have to increase their compensation, and more specifically, will there be any type of specific bonuses, not in the form of earnouts, but specific payouts based on the business recovering to the levels it was running at a couple of weeks ago. And then my second question is a follow-up on the previous caller about the adverse development clauses that you didn't tell us about yet. Could I ask if there's a specific clause related to deterioration in levels of revenue in the business from the current run rates?
Hi, Avi. Let me answer both. With respect to your first question, the founders who are shareholders are being treated like any other shareholder in the business, meaning they don't get any special earn-out arrangements or other bonusing arrangements which differentiate themselves from any other shareholder in this business. They have committed for a 12-month period to remain in the business and to work together with our management team in order to make sure there is proper transfer of knowledge between the management team and corporation. But that's where it ends. There are no special arrangements. They continue with the same financial arrangement that they have today, same level of salaries that they have today, nothing special whatsoever. Now, with respect to the material adverse change question, again, this is not something that we'll start going over the specific clauses on what's in the clauses, what's out the clauses. I think the general concept is if this business materially changes, deteriorates materially by way of certain significant changes that are completely different from how the business was, I would say, illustrated to us as part of this transaction, then these clauses will take effect.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Ed Birkin at Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, morning. You've been looking at potential acquisitions for a good couple of years now, and the fact that you've now made two in the financial sector, does this suggest that you don't see any value in your traditional online gaming sector?
Obviously, Playtech has identified the online financial trading sector as a high-growth vertical. The acquisition of TradeEffect established a platform from which to grow, both organically and by acquisition, as we indicated at the time of the TradeEffect transaction. And this acquisition means Playtech is adding scale and profitability ahead of plan. I wouldn't say that we are only focused on the financial sector currently. We are still, obviously, our core business will remain, even post-completion of this transaction, will be... the core business will be gaming, and we are still very active and remain very acquisitive, identifying potential acquisition targets in parallel with the financial sector. I will say that obviously this was a unique opportunity, a great opportunity for Playtech. I think that given the market conditions and the current status of Plus 500, we saw an opportunity and we acted swiftly in order to ensure that we will be able to announce this offer this morning.
And then in terms of, you know, talking about a good opportunity, you said it's a very fragmented market. Why do you think other players in the market who have more experience and more knowledge of the sector haven't you know, taken the opportunity of what's happened and kind of gone in against you?
I'm not sure that. Can you please clarify the question?
I'm just wondering what leaves you guys in such a good position to take advantage of this and why kind of others haven't. I know it's difficult for you to speak on behalf of other management teams, but you know they've obviously got a lot more experience in this sector. You know, is there something that you've got that others don't, which means it's a better opportunity for Playtech than it would have been for another of their competitors?
I definitely think that Playtech is in a different has a different scale, different position when compared to other companies. If you think about the infrastructure that we have in place, even before the and our experience in regulated markets, working with regulators across many jurisdictions, and when you add to that the scale and position of TradeEffect and the number of resources within the business and the expertise that exists within the business,
I think that not too many companies have the infrastructure, the expertise, the appetite, and the scale in order to make such an offer as we submitted this morning, as we announced this morning. Remember that the size of Plus 500 is not insignificant, it's quite high, and we definitely believe that we have the knowledge and expertise and not least the infrastructure in place in order to ensure that this business, Playtech, will be able to act swiftly, remedy the situation in combination with, together with Plus 500, and resume the growth that it experienced before.
Okay, great. And just a final one. And you talked about having the CRM of TradeFX and the product offering of Plus 500. I mean, I was in the impression TradeFX had a much wider product offering, you know, doing B2B as well as binary options, and that actually the CRM of TradeFX was substandard, and that was the benefit of actually buying TradeFX that you'd use Playtech's CRM. So, you know, I'm not really, yeah, I thought that the, you know, TradeFX had the product offering, whereas you're saying that actually Plus 500's product's much better, even though it's a much narrower product. And I thought the opportunity of TradeFX was Playtech's CRM, whereas you're saying that the TradeFX CRM is going to be the benefit.
So let me clarify that. Basically, the Plus 500 product offering, I mean, the uniqueness of it is the quality of the product of the funnel and the fact that they have a wider offering of its instruments. Basically, given that TradeFX does have a better offering with respect to a B2B position, so that the Plus 500 basically product is not fit for a B2B position at this point, and it is further enhanced with their binary options offering. The point was to say, from a B2C perspective, to take the wider instruments provided by Plus 500, to combine the features of both, and to take the quality of the CRM system, which is best of breed from TradeFX, and to have a very significant B2C operation on top of the fact that we will obviously use the B2B capabilities of TradeFX, and the fact that this system was built in a way that can work on a B2B basis on top of that.
In short, I would say not only we strongly still believe that there are a lot of synergies between Playtech and TradeFX in terms of CRM capabilities, Plus 500 was very much focused on product and marketing, less CRM. And this is why we see that as a great opportunity for us, not only to combine the efforts between Playtech and TradeFX, but further leverage that for the benefit of Plus 500, which and these CRM capabilities do not exist today within Plus 500, and we see that as a great opportunity to create revenue synergy through the combination of not only product and marketing, but product and marketing plus the CRM that we will provide, we will be able to provide on the back of the integration of the two companies.
Okay, great. And then, so just a final follow-up. When do you think we'll be in a position to have an idea of what a kind of starting kind of rebasing point of the profitability is going to be of Plus 500?
Well, I think it's going
to look very different to last year's actuals.
I think, to be honest, I think it's too early to say. The business right now is going through a transition period. It's still within the event itself, meaning it's not yet after resolving the situation. We'll have to wait and see once they finalize the process, which they indicated it would take them up to a month. And following that, we do believe that there will be an impact, a commercial impact on the performance of the business. I think it's still early to say. We will have to wait and see for at least the next 2 months, or even slightly beyond that, in order for us to see how things are becoming steady and at what level before we can answer this.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Ivor Jones at Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning. I have read what Plus 500 has said about their problems, but I haven't really understood what they are. Could you just in simple terms, set out what the problem is and what's happening?
Yes. Hi, Ivor. Just for me to clarify your question, you're asking about the circumstances by which, with basically the circumstances situation with the FCA?
Yes, what is it the FCA is investigating, and what is it that Plus 500 is being asked to do to resolve the problem?
Yeah, it's basically the process is that the FCA has approached them as part of an audit procedure, which is a very natural procedure, following which they had some concerns relating to the AML and KYC processes that they have implemented as part of their business. That evolved eventually into a process which is called the 166, Section 166, which means that the FCA is appointing a skilled person in order to evaluate the way that the business is being run with respect to these AML and KYC processes, and the recommendation of this skilled person to be implemented by the company. And in the meantime, until this Section 166 process is over, they basically decided to freeze the activity there until this is resolved. Since the activity was frozen, basically, following basically they are working themselves working very closely with a skilled person, they have managed to agree certain processes and guidelines, and following them implementing those guidelines with respect to the existing activity, they've already started unfreezing some of the accounts after getting the relevant documentation that they were required by the skilled person.
So I've been through KYC processes. They seem fairly straightforward. I send a utility bill and my driver's license. I don't understand what you can get wrong about identifying a customer to a financial services institution.
Yeah, I think it would be not the right thing for us to answer that, given this is a question that has to go directly to them. So we will basically, I mean, and it's also subject to certain confidentiality discussions between the company and its regulator and the skilled person. So I think some of it they communicated to the market, to be honest, but I think this is for them to answer rather than for us.
Okay, and so just to understand what you have said then, in relation to FCA on related clients, Plus 500 has to go back and look at all of the people who've ever signed up under the FCA license and check that they've been appropriately KYC'd.
Yes, the answer is yes, that they've been appropriately KYC'd and they've gone through the relevant processes and all relevant documents have been provided and questionnaires have been answered, etc., etc.
So does the Cyprus Financial Services Authority have a much laxer regime then? And that's why Plus 500 has been able to talk about taking clients on over there?
Yeah, we don't think so. Each regulator has its own guidances and the way that they work. Australia has their own processes and requirements, and CYSEC has its own processes and requirements, and each and every regulator is working slightly differently. And but the concept is similar in pretty much all of them, but I would say that the guidelines and implementation may be something which is implemented slightly differently.
And so when you're telling us that other regulators are taking an interest, it's possible that CYSEC will look at the clients taken on in Cyprus in the same way that the FCA has taken on the FCA-related.
Ivor, I think everything is possible. Again, this is a question for them to answer rather than for us. But just to emphasize, following the regulatory evaluation that we did with external advisors, we believe that the situation that they are in is capable of being remedied.
And so when you talk about resuming the growth that they had before, you are buying this on the basis you think there will be some business left after this regulatory inquiry. You're not just buying the brands and the technology and you're going to grow it from zero.
That's absolutely correct. We are buying it on an existing business and not on just the brands and the customers.
And I don't think I've seen you put a number on synergies. You said they had 100 people and you were keeping the senior management. Does that mean we should take 90 people out if you're putting the two businesses together?
Yeah, this is not about cost synergies. We see this opportunity about revenue synergies and the ability to increase the customer lifetime value through combining the best of the best between both TradeFX and Plus 500. it's not really about creating cost synergies.
Okay. And going back to the question on due diligence, I understand how you said it's been possible to do it in a week. I don't really understand why you would do it in a week. Why would you not? What was the time pressure? Were you under pressure from the regulator? Why would you not wait until the regulatory inquiries are concluded if this is the right price?
Yeah, it was. There were different reasons for that. Hi, Ivor, it's more. There were different reasons for that. All of those were commercial rather than regulatory or otherwise.
Okay, because you think you can halt the rate of decay once you put Playtech's money behind Plus 500?
We believe that the timing was right, the conversations were in place, the support was there, and we acted swiftly in order to secure and announce it this morning.
And the part of Playtech now gets to the chief executive. Is that because you're going to split the group up between gambling and financial services?
It's not about splitting the group. It's about, because as we indicated, there are a lot of synergies between the two parts. We mentioned CRM earlier. However, given the size, scale, and importance within the group, we thought that someone at board level should be in charge and oversee the investments made. Obviously, both transactions, TradeFX and the offer this morning, are not insignificant, to say the least, and therefore we acted responsibly in order to ensure that there will be a board-level responsibility over the activities and the future significant growth of the financial sector, financial vertical within the business. I think that this is should send a very clear message about our plans, about the fact that this vertical, we expect it to grow rapidly, and therefore we wanted people with the right expertise, background, people that experienced that before, people that have the experience in integrating companies, and we identified Ron as being the best within the group to do that.
And is this a financial services business within Playtech, or is it a B2C business within Playtech? Does this open the way for you to acquire B2C gambling businesses?
We believe that first and foremost, given the performance and the activities of TradeFX and Plus 500, that it will be first and foremost B2C. However, we do see B2B opportunities. We definitely see that.
And would you buy? Are you now going to open to buy B2C gambling businesses as you become increasingly a B2C business?
I think that it's quite clear from the announcement this morning, Plus 500 is a B2C operator, and therefore we always focused on shareholder value, and we always think about the core B2B business. This presents us with an opportunity, this vertical presents us with an opportunity to operate as B2C, without creating conflicts with our licensees, and therefore, and it has B2B opportunities itself.
Sorry, were you saying that you would not buy a significant B2C gambling business?
B2C gambling business?
Yes. As Playtech becomes more exposed,
the answer is that we are not limiting. We are not limiting ourselves to any opportunity.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Alan Lyons at Amber. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Morning, Mor. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Hi, good morning, Alan.
Morning. I want to try and put this question the right way. Impressive that you can move so quickly and bravely in a situation as fluid as this one obviously is. But what I'm curious about is when you kind of strike a deal in the furnace, the way this one has obviously been struck, you want to be sure you have a deal, right? And by the time September rolls around, either the picture will have cleared to the upside for plus 500, in which case presumably, you know, shareholders won't want to sell anymore at 400, or things will have deteriorated, in which case perhaps, you know, your appetite will have diminished. It seems unlikely that, you know, let's get a deal done at 400 will still be considered to be a great outcome from both sides in 3 months from now. So how is it either in the clauses of the agreement or perhaps what the cornerstone shareholders have committed to, how do we know that we've for sure got this pinned down at this price?
Hi, Alan. Let me try and answer that. I hope I understood your question properly. The way that we see it, we believe that the offer of 400p is a very compelling and fair offer. And this is on the basis of our own assessment of the business, which is not based on the share price of the business, but based on our own DD processes, based on our own evaluation of the business. And we see that as the relevant price for this transaction, for this business at this point in time.
Of course, right. But what I'm saying, this situation is going to move on probably quite dramatically, either to the upside or the downside in the course of the September time frame that you've indicated for completion of the deal, right? So it just seems like there are some potentially very swiftly moving parts here, which are either going to make 400 look like an outstanding deal for you or an outstanding deal for them. And so someone's motivation is going to dwindle depending on how that regulatory process moves forward. So, because you haven't bought any stock, obviously, at this point, right? So how do you know for sure that in 3 months' time you'll still be able to pin down this deal? That's my question.
Obviously, we have gone through the due diligence. However, we don't have a crystal ball, so we can't predict how it will evolve specifically. I will say the following. The recent regulatory scrutiny placed on Plus 500 has highlighted that it does not have the necessary infrastructure and regulatory expertise to support the complexity of the business, of its size and rate of growth. In other words, we believe that this can be remedied sooner rather than later, and it's obviously, if we would have waited another month, I don't think that it would have added much. I think it would have added much, and I think that basically we wanted to act swiftly. We see an opportunity. We believe that by combining the two, we will remedy the situation, and this is why we thought that this is the right time to do that. I don't think, as they indicated, over the next month they will unfreeze the account, but at the same time, as we indicated this morning, it involves higher marketing spend and lower margins. Over the medium-longer term, obviously, we see that as a great opportunity for Playtech, and therefore, I think that waiting longer wouldn't have been the right thing to do.
Yeah, and the...
And last, Ellen, sorry, I think that it is very, very important to say that we had their board and approximately 36% of the shareholders on site having this conversation and supporting us in the process, which was very important for us. And when we had this conversation we had the board on board and we had the 36% of the shareholders on board, we thought that it will be wrong to wait given what I described earlier.
Yeah, it's a simple majority they need, is that right?
Yes, it is a simple majority of the outstanding.
Okay, and that commitment to vote in favour, is that in all circumstances?
The only caveat is an alternative bid at a higher level.
Is that specified a certain amount more or just higher?
No, I believe that we indicated this morning in the announcement that it has to be higher than the 400 pence. Plus 5%.
Okay. And conversely, from your point of view, if things go south in terms of their regulatory process, what's your protection?
Obviously, we can't get to the specifics of each and every scenario, but as we indicated before, considering the due diligence, the likelihood of that is low. However, we have within the contract certain, if something materially changes in the business, there are certain material adverse change provisions within the contract.
Are they specific? Is that kind of general boilerplate Mac language, or are there some specific things that are prescribed in that?
I think that given the fact that this goes to shareholders' approval, I will leave it for the circular that they will circulate. I mean, their document that they will prepare ahead of their EGM, and therefore it will be fully described there. And I think that given the legal context it is done in, I think that it will be wrong for me to specify that now.
I understand, but I mean, is it something like if they lose their license or something like that? Is it that kind of thing?
I believe that losing a license can be considered, should be considered as a material adverse change.
Right. Okay. And one more thing. When do we expect that those documents, those circulars?
I believe as soon as practically possible.
We will commence as soon as possible.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
We will basically, I think, given time constraints, we will take the last question.
Okay, thank you, sir. We actually have a follow-up question from Simon Young at Aviva. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello again. Just thinking about this another way around. Should this be considered a technology deal for you because you'll be able to transfer plus 500's pretty obvious leadership in customer acquisition tools across from your financial services division into your gaming division? Do you consider them to have leadership in customer acquisition methodology, algorithms, that sort of thing, compared to what you have in your gaming, and therefore there's an obvious revenue synergy benefit from that for your gaming division?
I will say the following. I think that the technology, as I indicated earlier, product and technology are the core expertise of Plus 500. And when we evaluate it, it's not just about, we don't see this as a technology deal. This is an acquisition of one of the leading online CFD B2C companies that exist with unique technology and unique products and capabilities. And therefore, what we are focused on, given the acquisition of TradeFX, is the revenue synergies that exist in the business, taking best of breed from both companies. This was openly discussed with the management team of Plus 500. They are very excited about the CRM capabilities. Obviously, they are familiar with TradeFX, given the fact that TradeFX is a competitor, and they obviously were very impressed with the CRM capabilities. We are very impressed with not only the technology, but also the marketing capabilities and product capabilities. And when you combine the best of breed of both companies, including adding to the mix the infrastructure expertise and knowledge of both companies, I believe that the upside is very clear and very significant, and over time we will create significant shareholder value to Playtech shareholders. As Ron indicated earlier this morning, this will be earnings enhancing immediately, and therefore this is even before the revenue synergies. So imagine that this is highly accretive,
I was talking about the gaming side, not TradeFX. I can understand there's some synergistic benefits there, but what's the practical implication of this for your gaming business? I mean, what I'm asking is, you know, is there marketing, technology, algorithms, whatever you want to call them, are they pretty superior to what you've got? Because I think we've discussed in loose terms your desires in the past to, improve your own marketing, which has been very good. But does this bring a new, different ball game to you?
I believe, I'm not sure that I'm in a position to say that this is a different ball game. I will, however, say that we were very impressed with the management team and founders who are still involved in the business. We were very impressed with the product approach and marketing approach, and no doubt we will benefit from that on the gaming side. I think that it's too early to say. We have to act swiftly in order to secure this transaction. The context was the financial financial vertical that we have. We could have started quantifying the benefits of that. This is the more obvious, the low-hanging fruits, and therefore we were focused on that. But
I do believe that it is likely that we will be able to extend it beyond it to gaming as well.
Okay. And can you just confirm, in your discussion with them, is it, you know, they've obviously said that they've had a material change or revenue, and then I think they've downgraded revenues again this morning. Is it going to be trading profitably at this moment in time, +500?
Sorry, again? Is
+500 trading profitably at this moment in time? Yes, I understand.
The answer is yes.
Okay. And has TradeFX benefited from problems at +500?
I think we're looking at circumstances which happened a week ago, a week and a half ago.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't think this is... I think it's too early to identify anything at this point.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's Q&A session. I would like to now turn back to the speakers for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much, everyone. I hope we answered all of the relevant questions and see that this was a very significant and acquisition or offer of an acquisition for Playtech, which will enhance its capabilities and offering and diverse the Playtech business in line with its strategy. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.